Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, thank you for joining us as we continue our examination of the qualifications for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Special gratitude to those radio listeners whose financial gifts are so important, so absolutely essential to the continuation of this program on this station. Qualifications for pastors begin in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 3. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach. Hospitable. We spent the broadcast yesterday talking about this requirement of hospitality. There are yet a few more things that I would like to say. But if you were with us yesterday, you remember that the basic Greek word means a lover of strangers. Now, it's really taken on a more general sense than that, but still, that is underlying the idea, a lover of strangers, somebody who's willing to provide what a traveling stranger would need in the way of food and lodging. That's the idea that underlies it. And as we've seen in Romans 12:13, for example, hospitality is something that God expects all believers to exercise. And this is basically the idea of inviting people into your home. Now, it may be strangers, like traveling Christians, missionaries who are unknown to you, evangelists, teachers, people who are traveling through, maybe people who have just visited your church, maybe have moved into the area, they're new to the area. Wonderful, wonderful ministry to people like that to reach out in hospitality. Invite them into your homes at a time when that means so much to them. I can't tell you how important this can be to their well-being, to their sense of the health and friendliness and love of the church that they have just visited. There are all different ways to demonstrate friendliness in a church. Some churches are just very unfriendly. We hear reports of that from time to time, the people who went away to another city and visited the church and nobody spoke to them. Well, that's about the lowest level of unfriendliness that you can get to attend a church. Nobody speaks on the way in. Nobody speaks on the way out. Nobody makes it a point to recognize your presence, to reach out to you, to introduce themselves to you, to express appreciation for your presence, your attendance. Nobody does that. I hear reports of that from time to time, the people who actually visited a church in another city and nobody spoke to them. That is hard to imagine. It's just very difficult to imagine, but it does happen. Because of that, many churches in our day train greeters, they're often called. We don't have greeters in our church. We still have ushers who we ask to also perform the task of greeting. But sometimes greeters are the usher. Sometimes it's a different category altogether. People who are on duty in the church vestibule to be on the lookout for visitors and to especially warmly greet them, reach out to them, and so forth. And that's good. I think it's an excellent idea to have official greeters. That way, visitors will be warmly greeted with a friendly smile and a welcome. But isn't it a shame to have to designate people to do it? Really, the whole congregation should be a congregation of greeters, it seems to me. Am I wrong about that? You say, well, they should be, but because they aren't, this is what we do. Okay, I understand. But ideally, you should have a church full of people like that. And realistically, because of the fact that none of us are fully mature and fully developed, and we're all struggling with our own hang-ups, you might say, that are the result of our Adamic fallenness, not everybody in the church is going to be able to do this. But surely, in a healthy church, a mature church, you're going to have a sufficient number of people in the congregation who are doing this that you don't have to have a special category of greeters, I would hope. But anyway. But that's still a pretty primitive level of friendliness. It starts there. I don't see how you can possibly hope to be a friendly church if you don't have that much, but surely it needs to go beyond that. And there are other things that can be done. And one of them, as I say, is to extend hospitality. Somebody's visiting for the first time. Maybe you're new to the area. They don't have family and friends here. Why not invite them home with you to Sunday dinner? You say, well, I didn't plan for extra people. Or invite them to go out to the restaurant with you to join you to eat if you're not eating at home. Well, you say that would cost money. But, of course, hospitality does cost money. You know, another one of the problems of our day is that in America, where all of our contributions to the church are tax deductible, we tend sometimes to develop an attitude that I will give to the church that which is tax deductible. And I'll give generously, as long as it's tax deductible. But if it's not tax deductible, then I'm reluctant to do it. Well, hospitality is not tax deductible. But the Bible requires we do it. So, the United States tax codes are not our Bible. The Bible is our Bible. If we get tax deductibility for our normal offerings to the church, that's a plus. What are you going to do if in the United States of America the government takes away tax deductibility of your church contributions? I can see the possibility of that happening. Then are you going to stop giving? Is that going to affect your giving in a significant way? Well, you say, I won't have as much to be able to give as much. Well, obviously, you will have to make some adjustments. I mean, suddenly something has changed. If you can't take your contributions as a tax deduction, then your taxes are going to increase by some amount, to be sure. And you may have to cut back that amount on your contributions. But, of course, in time, perhaps you can grow them back. And that certainly should be your goal. But if you can only, or if you're only willing to give what is tax deductible, number one, you're probably not giving with the right motive. And number two, then you are going to have trouble with things like hospitality that aren't tax deductible. But they're biblically required. Now, there are other ways to show hospitality besides inviting people into your home. But I would encourage you to work on the home aspect very diligently. But it's true, not all homes are as suitable for hospitality as others. And if you are at the lower end of the income spectra and you just don't have a home that's suitable for that, you find it very difficult to invite people into your home, I would say a couple of things. Number one, I would say try to get over that. That really is a matter of pride, but I do fully understand it. Try to get over that. Number two, look for people who are in a similar circumstance. Start with them, and you might end with them, but get started somewhere. You're not the only person who lives in a mobile home or a small apartment or whatever your circumstances are that you think are too meager for you to offer hospitality. Look around. There are other people in the congregation in similar circumstances why don't you start with them? Invite them over. And furthermore, hospitality does not have to be extremely costly because it doesn't have to be elaborate. Some people think that I can't invite people over to my house unless I can provide a huge meal, you know, like Thanksgiving or Christmas type of feast. No, you can invite people over for something very simple. Invite them over after church for a very light meal, Sunday night after church, for example, for a very light meal, for soup and sandwich. In fact, soup and sandwich can provide an excellent meal anytime. Just make sure you've got plenty of soup and plenty of sandwiches, and you're fine. Maybe a simple salad to go with it, but you're fine. It doesn't have to be fancy. In fact, too fancy in itself might make other people uncomfortable if they're not used to that. Simple is always acceptable, and many times is more greatly appreciated, because what people really want is the warmth, the friendliness, the welcome, the recognition that you are interested in them as a person, that you're not interested in showing off your wealth, your finery, your fancy food, fancy house, whatever, fancy silverware, fancy table. I mean, so what if your house is a little bit shop-worn? So what if your furniture isn't new? It shows nicks and scratches here and there. So what if your tableware isn't all high quality? That really isn't the issue. Love, friendliness, warmth is the issue. So you can do this if you will do this. You can find people that are going to be perfectly comfortable with your circumstances and exceedingly grateful for your outreach. But I would also say, before I conclude this, that it is possible to show hospitality in other places besides your home. And sometimes it is more suitable to show it in other ways. As I say, to invite somebody out with you to a restaurant. Again, it doesn't have to be an expensive one. It can be a very inexpensive one. But it will cost you something. In fact, it's even possible if you, in certain circumstances, depending, I think you should understand the people, know the situation before you do this, but it's perfectly acceptable to say, we're going to so-and-so to eat lunch today. Would you care to join us and make it clear that you're not able to pay for their meal, but you would be happy to join them or have them join you and for them to pay for their own meal? Maybe you know they're going out somewhere anyway, and you're just suggesting that you go together. Instead of each of you going somewhere and eating separately, why don't all of you go together and enjoy one another's fellowship and company? A wonderful way to exercise hospitality without any additional cost. There really are a lot of ways to do this. And what it really boils down to is demonstrating love and affection for one another. Not being covetous and selfish or unduly protective, but willing to share. This is a quality that men must have to qualify as a pastor. And this is a quality that all of God's people are supposed to demonstrate. May God help us to do it. Until next week at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.